Like most Americans over the age of 25, I can remember where I was 15 years ago this morning when first I heard of the terrorist attacks that changed the world. In those days, I was using a clock radio as an alarm, which means that I woke up to Bob Edwards' NPR broadcast describing the collapse of the first tower of the World Trade Center. And then a little while later, I heard Bob Edwards' voice go silent as he watched the implosion of the second building. And it had an impact. For me, the aftermath of 9/11 involved a lot of thinking and observation and reconsidering my understanding of the world. I had to think about Islam and about whether or not the emerging narrative of Islam as an essentially violent and repressive religion made any sense. And I had to reevaluate what it means to be patriotic. After the attacks of 9/11, there was a lot of talk about patriotism. Everywhere you looked, people were waving American flags, and just about every bumper was festooned with a sticker declaring, "United, we stand," which was great. There was this amazing sense of the country coming together, and it was exciting. It felt good to belong to a great big national community, except that it wasn't long before the shine on our national sense of goodwill began to tarnish just a little bit. For me, the sense that things were going a little bit sideways started to nag at me when one of the kids in my neighborhood asked me why I hated America. This was maybe a week or 10 days after 9/11, and the question came as a shock, but apparently her family, one of the only white families in the neighborhood, by the way, her family had noticed that Ann and I weren't flying an American flag. Which, to be fair, mostly had to do with the fact that we didn't own an American flag. But I suppose that was bad enough. Then people started attacking Sikhs, mistaking them for Muslims because of their beards and their turbans. And I worked in a part of San Jose that had a large Sikh population. So about the same time my neighbors accused me of hating America for not waving a flag, I was walking down a street around the corner from my church, and I saw a group of Sikh men on the opposite sidewalk, and I decided I should go greet them as a neighbor to show support and Christian love. And I crossed the street in the middle of the block so I could shake their hands. And when they saw me coming, they got terrified looks in their faces, and they ran to the sidewalk I just left, also crossing in the middle of the block. The following Sunday, a man in my congregation who was Dutch Indonesian came to church with what must have been a baker's dozen American flag stickers covering his Volkswagen Jetta because he was afraid someone would mistake him for a Muslim and a terrorist. Those were troubling times. As patriotism sank into jingoism and as national unity became nationalistic unanimity, dissent was not tolerated, the Constitution was ignored, and our nation waged unnecessary wars, ultimately squandering the sweet sense of purpose and goodwill we all felt in the immediate aftermath of 9/11. Well, 15 years later, and Americans are once again talking about patriotism. Only this time the conversation surrounds an often troubled and occasionally successful quarterback who has refused to stand for the national anthem. He's protesting the treatment of African Americans at the hands of the American criminal justice system, and his dissent seems to be gathering steam. A lot of folks are upset by his protests, saying he is ungrateful, that he is hurtful, that he does not appreciate the sacrifice of America's men and women in uniform, that he's a spoiled brat who isn't a very good player anyway. But the protest is having an impact. Colin Kaepernick's jersey has been the NFL's best-selling piece of merchandise of late, and other athletes have joined in the protest, including a few football players and the fabulously talented American soccer player Megan Rapinoe. The NFL has several games today, and while I don't expect to watch any of those games, still it will be interesting to see what happens. Many a pundit has suggested that Colin Kaepernick's protest is meaningless posturing, but from where I sit, it seems important because it has some of us, anyway, talking about the meaning of patriotism. And perhaps the conversation will help us to be a better, more unified country if, God forbid, we ever suffer another tragedy on the magnitude of what transpired 15 years ago this morning. As a person of faith, I have found my understanding of healthy patriotism to be influenced significantly by the words from Jeremiah that Dave read before I started to preach this morning. These words were addressed to Jewish exiles living in Babylon, folks mostly drawn from the societal elites who were forced to leave their homeland when the Babylonian Empire swallowed up Judea some 500 years before the birth of Christ. Among the exiles in Babylon, there was a bit of debate relative to how they should relate to the city that was their new home. Should they put their lives on hold, waiting to return to Jerusalem, or should they live productive lives in the city of their captivity? And the prophet Jeremiah gave them an answer, and the answer was this: seek the well-being of the city that is your home. Integrate. Have families. Start businesses. Build homes. Participate in civic life. Pray for the peace of your city and seek its well-being. To me, that seems like a good way to frame faithful patriotism. We don't live in a perfect country. Far from it. In fact, as residents of the United States and of California and of Oakland, it's easy to feel as if we are in exile from the kingdom of God. Racism and bigotry are making a huge comeback nationally. Despite great wealth, we live in a place of deep and deepening poverty where there is a homelessness crisis. In our city and across the region, several officers of the law have been caught up in a scandal involving an underage child prostitute whose johns included an unknown number of peace officers from a variety of agencies. We sit down by the dock of the bay, and we weep when we remember the city of God. For how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange and bitter land? Yet sing the songs of God we must. And when we do, when we work to make our city and our region and our state and our nation a better, more just, more peaceable society, then we are doing the work of true patriotism. This is why the greatest Americans are those willing to challenge the status quo, those brave enough to change the hearts of those unfamiliar with the sweetness of God's grace and all of the joyful justice and peace and equality and love that is native to our home country, the city of God. A significant portion of our church membership, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, a significant portion of our church's membership is worshiping today down at the Oakland Pride Parade. I wanted to join them, but we needed at least one pastor to stay here at Montclair, and Talitha called first dibs on the parade. It makes me really happy to know so many of our number is downtown marching in support of LGBTQ equality, because it seems to me such demonstrations are examples of what deeply Christian citizenship looks like. Good Christian citizenship is not jingoistic nationalism that pretends everything is good and that considers dissent to be an act of treason. Good Christian citizenship is a patriotism that understands our country is far from perfect, and that dissenters, freethinkers, gadflies, truth-tellers, artists, protesters, and provocateurs all play a vital role in forming a more perfect union. And so long as anyone is marginalized in America, so long as black and brown Americans are targeted disproportionately by law enforcement, so long as there is economic and educational inequality in America, we need to help. We need true patriots to pay attention to what is wrong and then to figure out how best to fix what is broken. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, back in June, a gunman shot more than 100 people at a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida. 53 of those victims died. In the aftermath of that tragedy, we made the decision to send as many folks as possible from our church to march in the Oakland Pride Parade, because historically, Christian churches have not been present in a positive way for the LGBTQ community. Ours has been a message of hate, of ignorance, of condescension, and the Orlando massacre reminded us that we can be different. Churches can do better, because by God's grace, We know better. We know that so long as Americans who are lesbian or gay or bisexual or transgendered or who don't fit comfortably into binary gender categories, as long as these brothers and sisters are murdered or marginalized or are told they're sinful or are told they must change or are told they should refrain from marriage or told their families are inherently dysfunctionally, as long as any American suffers the indignity of abuse and bullying and pejorative language and actions, then all of America suffers. If we want our country to be whole and healthy, if we want our society to be a place that is hopeful and joyful for all of God's children, then we must take to the streets. We must march with pride. We must kneel in protest. We must pray for the peace of our city with hope. We know that as long as any segment of our nation cannot dance without fear, then the whole nation has lost its rhythm. And we know, dearly beloved, that God wants all of us to dance. Amen.